Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's gospel, in this last month of February, we hear the story of the rich young man who approaches our Lord and asks him what he has to do to inherit or take possession of eternal life. Jesus challenges the young man's assumptions right off the bat. The young man calls him good teacher, and the Lord responds, "Why do you call me good? There's none but God, good but God alone." Mark 10, verse 18. Come back to that thought in a minute. When the man asks about eternal life, eternal salvation, the first thing that Jesus points out to him is the commandments. Specifically, our Lord mentions the second part of the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, nor bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Mark 10, verse 19. So these all have to do with how we interact with others, basically loving our neighbor. It's the first bar that we have to pass. As our Lord says in Matthew 19, 17, if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. So dissenting on the commandments, on the moral teachings of the church, is a good sign that we're on the bad spiritual road. Beware of false shepherds who are encouraging that dissent in the church. You'll know them not only by the false teachings that they teach regarding things like marriage and sexuality, but you'll also know them by the fact that the mass media tends to adore them. They like to shine the spotlight, a benevolent spotlight on them, and speak well of them. These shepherds, sadly, are disciples of Occam and Hegel and Kant and other bad modern philosophers and bad theologians, more so than they are disciples of Christ. Our Lord says, if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And the young man in the gospel responds. He says, teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth. Mark 10, verse 20. So many people who come here to the farm and even who watch our videos on the internet are like this rich young man in many respects. They're good people, they're faithful, they're at least trying to be faithful to the Ten Commandments. They want to do what's right. They want to live in God's grace, but they still need to be challenged. We all really do. If the gospel's not really challenging you in any way, be assured that you're not really living it. Okay, when the young man told Jesus that he had been faithful to the Ten Commandments, to the commandments that our Lord specifically mentioned, St. Mark says this, that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Mark 10, 21. The New Jerusalem translation, Bible translated this way, Jesus looked steadily at him and he was filled with love for him. This is actually the only place in the gospel where it says explicitly that Jesus looked on someone with love. But then what did Jesus do after that? He challenges the man again. He challenges him on where his heart really is, and he also challenges him on who Jesus really is. First, let's look at that second challenge, which might be easier for us. Jesus challenges the man regarding his understanding of him. He tells the man to give away all his things and then come and follow me, he says in Matthew, Mark 10, verse 21. When Jesus questioned the young man on the commandments, he only mentioned those ones that have to do with how we treat others. Here, the challenge regards the first part of the Ten Commandments. It regards the man's love for God. So it's not enough to just do good to others in order to enter eternal life. You have to serve and honor God as well. The rich young man understood Jesus to only be a wise teacher. Jesus is telling him that he's much more than that, much more than a wise teacher. He's essentially telling the young man what he says in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. So only God can really tell you to give away everything and follow him exclusively. Only God can do that. St. Mark's gospel opens by saying this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's Mark 1, verse 1. And the whole gospel is about Jesus revealing himself in those two aspects. First, as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Anointed One, but also revealing himself to be the actual Son of God. And that's one of the eye-opening challenges that this young man was not prepared to have to wrestle with when he approached the good teacher, as he called him. So the one challenge is acknowledging that Jesus of Nazareth is truly God. The other challenge is the one that's really difficult for most Christians. Our Lord looks on this man with love, and then he hits him where it hurts, right? He says, "You're lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." That's verse 21 again. So the young man's question, what do I have to do to possess eternal life? Well, the answer is you have to give up something temporal in order to gain something eternal. The spiritual weakness of the rich young man was that his security and probably even his sense of significance was found in his possessions. He clings to his things rather than clinging to God. He was an expert in worldly securities, but very shaky in heavenly security. When Jesus looked on him with love and then began to speak about those properties and possessions that he had, the young man no longer saw the loving face of Jesus. All he had in front of his mind was the fear of losing those worldly securities. If we remember the story and tie this together with the story of Peter walking on water and how he was able to do so, how as long as he focused on Jesus, right? He was able to walk on water miraculously. When he began to focus on the storm and the winds and the waves, Peter began sinking. Here, the young man's all intent on what Jesus has to say to him. He's focused on Christ. He's listening to him with an open mind and an open heart until Jesus challenges him and says the uncomfortable, says the unthinkable. Then the man takes his eyes off the Lord and walks away sad, similar to how Peter took his eyes off the Lord on the Sea of Galilee and began to sink. So where is the Lord challenging us in our spiritual life? Is he challenging us to forgive those who hurt us? Is he challenging us to love those who mistreated us or who hate us? Is he challenging us to let go of our pride and self-righteous spirit and to truly grow in humility? Is he challenging us to try to let go of our desire to be in control of everything, to learn to place that control in his hands? Or is he challenging us to give up the comfortable, secure life that we have, to follow him without reservations, as he was doing with this young man? Where is he challenging us in our life today? We all need to be challenged in the spiritual life. Jesus knows that. Where is he challenging you on these days? So let's ask Our Lady for the grace to not take our focus off of her son and herself, for that matter. Let's ask her for the courage to say yes also to whatever Jesus is challenging us to do. Better insecurity with the Lord than security with the world and the things of this world, if you want to look at it from that perspective. As I told one person recently, in the choices that we make, Jesus will never disappoint us or upset us or be upset with us for trusting too much in him. You're never going to get to the next life and Jesus is going to say, "I can't believe you trusted too much in me. That was excessive." He's never going to lead us to think that. He won't let us down in this life or in the next life, no matter what he's challenging us to do. Remember, he says, "Whoever loses his life for my sake, he'll do what? He will find it," says the Lord, Matthew 16:25. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.